CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first stage of the U.S. brokered ceasefire in Gaza is underway. The Israeli military says its forces have withdrawn to agreed deployment lines. President Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, says the 72-hour period for Hamas to release all hostages has begun. ABC's Mary Bruce is at the White House with the latest.
The big question, then what? The president's 20-point plan had called for Hamas to disarm and for Gaza to be governed by an apolitical Palestinian committee, overseen by an international board of peace, with Trump as its chairman.
No Nobel Peace Prize for President Trump. It's been awarded to Venezuela's opposition leader, Maria Machado. The government shutdown continues after the Senate departed without passing a funding resolution. Military members are set to miss their paychecks next week. National Guard troops expected to arrive in Memphis today, but not Chicago, after a federal judge blocked Trump administration efforts to deploy in Illinois. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters to share their passion for the sport with the next generation during this year's Youth Deer Hunt. The annual event will be held on Saturday and Sunday, offering hunters 15 and younger the chance to learn hunting techniques in a less crowded environment than the traditional 9-day gun deer hunt season. Youth hunters will be eligible to hunt under a mentor's supervision. Mentors must be at least 18 years old, have a current license, and have completed a hunter education course. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has announced new funding to continue offering services through the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Project. DPI officials say funding for the program typically comes from federal grants, but in September, the Department of Education announced it would terminate that funding because it reflected the prior administration's priorities and policies. The DPI appealed that decision, but their appeal was denied in late September. The new grant funding comes from the National Center on Deaf Blindness. The Barron County Sheriff's Department requested two significant expenses from the County Executive Committee at their meeting this month. Sheriff's office officials are asking for a radio upgrade estimated to cost around $1.5 million and a new patrol boat for around $80,000. They also say selling off some of their current equipment that needs replacement could help offset a portion of that cost. The full Barron County Board would need to approve the proposal with a 3/4 majority to authorize the purchases. Barron County residents are being invited to a new event aimed at raising awareness about type 1 diabetes this weekend. The inaugural Rice Lake Walk for Breakthrough T1D event will be held at 9 a.m. on Saturday at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire Barron County campus. The event will feature things like face painting for kids and yard games before the 2-mile walk kicks off at around 10:30 a.m. There's no fee to participate, but residents interested in attending are encouraged to register before the event on the Breakthrough T1D Walk website. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Game 5 tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the last time the Brewers faced Cubs pitcher Matthew Boyd, they knocked in 3 runs in the first inning. Last night, Boyd pitched into the 5th as the Cubs shut out the crew 6-0. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. Boyd was fantastic. He made pitches. How much money did they give him? $39 million. He earned it tonight. He was great.
So Game 5 is tomorrow night at 7:08 at American Family Field to decide who will advance to face the Dodgers for the National League pennant. NBA, the Bucks beat the Pistons 117-111 last night in preseason basketball in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers face the Bengals Sunday afternoon, but kicker Brandon McManus injured his kicking leg at Wednesday's practice, a quad injury. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow, and you know we'll have a plan ready to go.
Now McManus says he thinks he'll be okay. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
A few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny here by later this afternoon. Pretty nice day today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to near 40 for a low. Tomorrow, another beautiful day with sunshine and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Hey, everybody. Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, you've heard the voice. First and 10, Wisconsin. And Ron Dane. Now meet the man behind the voice, Mike Mankey, Badger PA announcer, in studio with us next time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
It's not the same.
Our Lake Wasota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News.
I don't know.
Pat Kreitlow.
I mean, I'm good to hear Don again, but I mean, after a week of Parker, yeah. I mean, it's kind of tough to go back. I don't know.
And Parker injects this like liveliness.
I know. And I said we wanted to expand this. I'd love to hear some Kristen Lyerly intros and some Luke Mathers intros. I think it's time to open things up and crowdsource this. What do you think? I think we could do that.
Audience members, think of all our audience members.
I know. We got that voice note feature on the Civic Media app that people can use and make their own little intro to an hour of the show.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it would work for me. Nice to have you back here up north. Nice to be home. 8:07 on this Friday morning, October 10th. That's Parker Olson in Studio A2 down in Madison and Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Back from wherever she's the only person I know that travels more than me sometimes, getting around. And you were in Boston this week.
Yeah, I was in Boston, some meetings, met with some folks from the Mass Medical Society and talked about all the crazy stuff that's happening in the world. You know, it's very interesting because we live in Wisconsin, which is a very divided state. We have a lot of opinions around here, but they're pretty blue in Mass, and to hear how they're practicing medicine and the things that they're worried about was really perspective forming.
I'll bet. Yeah. So we'll get into some of that in just a sec here. But first, from Rob, I know that he gave us a good morning here in YouTube. There he is. Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 50 degrees. Yesterday, I was busy mowing grass and leaves in the Tigerton area. I will be done mowing for the season this weekend. It was a great year mowing. I've been mowing every week since April 28th. Now busy doing paperwork for the mowing season. Says the fall colors are really hitting peak in the Tigerton area, and noted, as I did as well, that Governor Evers was talking about rustic roads because the rustic road system in our state is now 50 years old. So get out and enjoy the scenery, the nature, the historic buildings, the old farm buildings. Rustic Road 47 between Tigerton and Wittenberg on County M is the one closest to him. And then finally, he says, I have a sore right knee that's been bothering me in recent months. When I was 12 years old, I fell off a hay wagon. Maybe my football and farming is catching up to me as well. I think that's all just our transition to see how our favorite knee replacement patient is doing these days.
Well, good. It's been 6 weeks.
Okay.
You know, healing well, but, you know, it takes a long time.
Well, you're walking through all those airports, you know. So you were telling me off air, you went through the Detroit airport, which nobody gets through without 10,000 steps on there.
Gosh. Yeah, you know? Stopped, stretched. And I refuse to do transport. Like, if I have time, I just am going to walk.
Oh, do you know what happened last night?
Oh, boy.
We not at the Dallas airport. We were at the Twin Cities airport. We arrived. And, of course, we always joke about how our gate is always, like, at the very end of any given concourse. Uh-huh. And, of course, there it was. And it was, what, you know, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And I think we looked fine, you know, but there's a cart over to the side and some younger fellow over there and just says to us, do you guys need a ride? And we, you know, we didn't. We were just like, but we walked away going, how old do we look right now that people are now officially saying, offering to help us across the street, you know? It's like, wait a minute. We should have gotten mad. Like, what are you talking about? No, we're young. We're virile. We don't need no ride. Instead, we were like, we almost said yes.
No, you probably said, oh, no, thanks. Thanks oh, no, anyway. Thanks.
We're good. That's what we said. Like, no, thanks anyway. We're good. And then immediately went into, what did he see in us that looked so like, I don't recall hobbling. But anyway, those days are getting closer.
Maybe
but
you just look tired.
I always look tired, you know, and amazingly, Kristen never does. She comes off of these meetings still, you know, all charged up and everything. I'm assuming this is through your new work on the national board of ACOG.
No, this was with the Committee to Protect Healthcare, which is an incredible organization of nearly 40,000 doctors all across the country in every state doing this patient-facing advocacy work. So they're involved in a lot of things. Like here in Wisconsin, they were involved in the last two Supreme Court races, the ballot initiatives that were primarily about abortion all across the country. Lots of stuff where you need the voices of doctors specifically to talk about what this means for us and our patients. And in the era of RFK Jr., where we saw a recent study come out yesterday that the partisan divide where people place their trust is stronger than ever before. RFK Jr. is heavily trusted by Republicans, even though the things he says are frankly not true in many cases. Like, for example, this connection between autism and circumcision. Can we talk about that? Can we talk extensively about circumcision on our morning show this morning?
Can I? Again, we talked so much.
The ground rules?
There's so much gyno talk, and instead we're doing circumcisions today, which, no, is again, fine because of the ridiculousness of it. And again, I hope Sherry doesn't mind me, you know, saying something personal here. But right before I texted you the story about Kennedy saying this, I showed her my phone, and there it is, Robert Kennedy Jr. trying to make a connection between autism and circumcision via Tylenol. And it's just one of those times when she looks at another RFK headline and just says, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. It's just, like, I mean, the people who went to medical school, the people who study science, have to look at this yo-yo as the Health and Human Services Secretary. So naturally, my next step was to text it to you and say, yep, let's get into it. What made Robert Kennedy Jr. try to make a connection between autism and circumcision?
Hey, I don't know what made him do it, but I want to be very clear. He specifically referenced two studies, and he didn't say which two studies they were, but it is likely that they were two very poorly done studies with terrible methodology. That means that when you put a study together, you have a bunch of planning that you have to do. You have to pick your patients and you have to narrow what you're trying to study and make sure that it's actually going to come up with the results that are going to be meaningful. These studies were awful. But unless you understand the complexity of it on its surface, if you're just reading the headline, it could look legitimate. These are not legitimate studies. So why go here? Well, here's my theory. Circumcision is another one of those things that in my practice, in any OBGYN's practice, anytime we're talking about having a baby boy, we have a conversation with our patients about what are you thinking? And it's a complicated conversation. Some patients are, they know what they want to do. They feel comfortable with it. Other people want to have a very in-depth conversation about the risks and the benefits and what's the best thing for my family. And that's important to do. Don't get me wrong. And it's not for everybody. But to draw this kind of a conclusion and recognizing that this is a tender topic for many vulnerable families is so irresponsible coming from the person who is leading Health and Human Services for this country.
Well, it is the equivalent of drawing on a hurricane map with a Sharpie.
Yes.
And that's what some of these studies, quote unquote, are like. And he, of course, doesn't care, much like Trump, doesn't care. You make the things say what you want them to say, whether it's what they really say or not. And now we've put another element of confusion, especially into pregnant women. Yes, the fathers and partners and everything as well. But it just seems, what has this guy got against pregnant women and women in general that so much of his gobbledygook is meant to alarm your patients.
He finds those sensitive topics that make people feel uncomfortable and he exploits them. And there was another clip where he said, "We are doing the studies to make the proof." That's not how science works. Mm-hmm. In science, you have a hypothesis, you have a question that you are trying to answer, and you guess, like, this is what I think is going to happen. But then you have to let the science do its work in order to be objective and honest and real and applicable. You can't tailor that science to prove a point that you are trying to make. That's flawed. But that's exactly what he said.
But that's politics. And that's it just is. It. There's a difference between medicine and politics. And in politics, it is not at all uncommon for people to have a hypothesis about their values and then to try to pursue things that reinforce it, even if it means you have to conveniently ignore other things, you know, that work against your hypothesis. Science is not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be, I mean, truly nonpartisan, supposed to be independent and let the facts speak for themselves. And then, you know, politicians are not supposed to then, you know, be fraudulent with what the science actually says.
That's why this Kaiser Family Foundation study that came out a couple days ago is so concerning, because what it shows is that people who call themselves Republicans believe what RFK Jr. is saying. People who call themselves Democrats and most independents continue to follow the science. So what we're seeing is people consume this information based on their political views. And that too is wrong. When I'm taking care of a patient in my exam room and somebody walks through the door and I know they're a Republican, I don't treat them any differently than an independent or a Democrat. We talk about what's going on with them. We talk about all the options for testing. We talk about all the options for treatment. We try to pick out the best alternative for them, because ultimately it has to work for you in your life. And it should not be tailored specifically depending on how you vote.
And I hate to be a broken record about this, but I feel like we have to end this discussion, like some of the other recent ones, in saying, because of the conflicting information and misinformation that's out there, it is more important than ever to not be afraid to ask questions. Now, there are some doctors that feel like you're the only person, we've got all day to talk about this. There are other doctors who they feel the pressure, like, you got 15 minutes, you got to get out of here.
And that's what you have too.
But don't, if you are the patient and you've got questions, you put them out there, even if they've got to follow up later, but don't walk away having not asked the questions that you have.
Totally agree. And can I just mention one other thing? You know what population they haven't gone after? Postmenopausal women. I challenge the administration to go after hormone therapy, and they will have met their match. Right, ladies?
That amen I just heard was downright deafening. So yes, absolutely do that. Back to feeling our age from Tony on YouTube. A kid in elementary school called me sir yesterday morning. I felt so old. No, that's when you feel like a grown-up is the first time you get called sir. It's like, hey, look, I'm an adult now. But I noticed, years and years ago now, that far more than any other guys that I know, the number of people that always use the word sir, you know, when they're saying, here you go, sir, here's this, sir. And not in like some, in a way that totally says, yep, you're the old guy now in this particular conversation, you know? And she's like, no, you can just say Pat. And I'm like, oh no, that would feel weird. It's like, really?
That's so regional too. So my ex-husband is from Atlanta, and mm-hmm. down in the Southeast, everybody is sir and ma'am. And that mm-hmm. is a standard thing. Like, you could be 16 and they'd be talking sir and ma'am with you. But up here, obviously, it's not like that. So much of that is cultural and interesting.
Interesting. And yes, it appears to be a little age-based.
Sorry, Tony.
Again, I'm sure if I'd listened carefully, the guy at the airport cart would have been like, sir, do you need a ride? No, and don't call me sir. But I didn't, let's just say I didn't break out into a run to prove my youthfulness.
Jump over some suitcases. Yeah,
no, because my knees would not let me. That's just not the way that this is going to work. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and coming up in 15 minutes, we are going to be talking to Mike Clemens, and we're going to be talking a little sports. The Brewers taking it to a fifth game, facing now possible elimination against the Cubs, and the Packers get set to take on Cincinnati. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. More from Chippewa Falls coming up.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Big G says Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, Wisconsin is a must for golfers of all skill levels. Designed by the legendary Pete Dye, this course delivers 18 holes of pure fun. When Big G works up an appetite, he heads to Die Hard's for pizza or an Italian beef sandwich big enough to satisfy even him. He's a fan of the brand new carts with state-of-the-art rangefinders. Mention Big G's name and receive $20 off your round through October 31st.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Well, in the studio with me right now is Joan Ackerman. She is with the Hayward Community Food Shelf, and in particular, you also represent the Hayward Community Food Shelf's Food for Kids program. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. How are you, Mark? Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, Food for Kids, how long has this been going on, and describe what the program is about?
Okay. Well, the Food Shelf actually just celebrated its 40th anniversary.
Okay.
And Food for Kids, this is the 15th anniversary of the Food for Kids program. And over the past 15 years, Food for Kids has distributed almost 600,000 pounds, specifically 599,691 pounds of food to children in the Hayward community area.
Okay. And this works through multiple school districts, right?
Correct. Yeah. And Food for Kids is actually now a year-long program.
Okay.
We are just starting the school year program. That is where students can receive a bag of food every Friday during the school year that contains items for breakfast and lunch. for Saturday and Sunday when they aren't in school. And we serve the Hayward Public Schools, the LCO schools, St. Francis Mission, Northern Lights Christian Academy, and Northern Waters Environmental Charter School. They all participate in the program.
Yeah. So why was this started? What was the need that was seen so many years ago with school children?
Well, it just was that the people that started this at the Hayward Food Shelf just saw that there were children, students that needed additional food, particularly in the on the weekends when they are not in school.
Yeah.
And while the program has evolved over the past 15 years, one thing has remained constant, and that's providing nutritious food assistance to children.
Yeah, because they are the ones that usually suffer the most.
Yes, and we have heard from teachers that when hungry children come to school, they're not as attentive. Yeah. It's harder for them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to help that need.
Yeah. So is there any sort of requirements that a child or the family of the child needs to meet to receive this benefit?
No, there are no requirements, and there's no cost to the parent or student.
Okay.
They just need to sign up. There are registration forms at the schools. It's on the school's website. I think it was in all of the open house packages.
Oh, okay.
It's on the food shelf's website. You just fill out a form and return that to school, because the school gives us the numbers of students each week.
Yeah.
Because it does vary if kids are sick or something, and additional students can sign up at any time during the school year.
Yeah, right. And then you said this is now year-round. How does that work then when over the summer months when school isn't in session?
Right. About the year after Food for Kids was started, the next year we started a summer program. And again, parents can sign up their children for that. Again, no cost. Just fill out a form rather than deliver the food to the schools. The parents or a designated person can pick up a box monthly at the food shelf during its regular hours, and that is approximately 25 pounds of food for the month. Pretty much the same that's in a weekly bag, you know, an entree, vegetables, cereals, fruits, things like that. It's just on a monthly basis.
Okay. Now, you're on the board for the food shelf. At the board level, have you seen an increase in demand over the past couple of years, or is there seasons in each year where the demand gets to be more than normal?
I would say that the demand is increasing. It's not necessarily seasonal.
Okay.
Just based on a lot of factors of food costs and certain programs not be available, that the general program, which operates on Monday mornings and the first Saturday of the month, they have definitely seen an increase in participation or clients coming in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So speaking of donations then, how can people donate financially, or where can they bring food to donate to the food shelf? Is there boxes out at the different stores fronts, or can they just bring it to the...
There are some boxes like at Marketplace. People can also drop off food at the food shelf when it is open.
Okay.
We don't want to leave food
outside. Yeah.
And if people are looking to donate cash, they can either... make checks payable to the Hayward Community Food Shelf, and our P.O. Box here in Hayward is 779, or you can donate on our website with a credit card. There's no charge for that.
Yeah, and the website is?
HaywardFoodShelf.net.
HaywardFoodShelf.net.
Right, and it is a fee-free donation with your with your credit card.
Okay.
And that's on our website and also the Facebook page.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Joan, for coming in and telling us about the Food for Kids program offered by the Hayward Community Food Shelf. And again, if you want more information about this, you can go to their website, and there is a form there, or check in with your child's school for an application to the Food for Kids program. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you very much, and thank you. And I encourage anyone who would like to participate in the program to do so, and you can do it anytime during the school year. So if you don't sign up the first week, you can sign up anytime during the school year and just turn that form into the school.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is inviting residents to participate in Drug Takeback Day this month. The event is held twice each year, giving Wisconsinites a chance to dispose of unwanted or unneeded medications at collection sites across the state. Department of Health Services officials say the spring collection this year took in nearly 57,000 pounds of unwanted medications. The fall Drug Takeback Day will be held on October 25th, and a full list of collection sites is available on the Department of Health Services website. Despite questions over federal funding sources, the Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program is still offering residents help with their winter utility bills. The program is meant to help residents cover their electric bills during the winter months when utility costs tend to spike. Funding for the program comes from both state and federal sources, but between funding cuts, staff layoffs, and the ongoing government shutdown, $4 billion of federal funding may not be available this year. Residents can still apply for the assistance through May 15th. Wisconsin and Minnesota Department of Transportation officials are inviting area residents to a public meeting on the Blatnik Bridge reconstruction project this month. The public meeting will be held on October 20th at the Superior Public Library beginning at 5 p.m. DOT officials will share a presentation on the current status of the project following the completion of the Twin Ports Interchange project and answer questions from residents. The reconstruction project is expected to close the Blatnik Bridge from 2026 to 2031. The City of Superior held a pair of public meetings this week regarding potential plans to change some one-way roads in the area. The plans are focused on improving safety around Banks, Ogden, and John Avenues in the Midtown neighborhood. City officials are proposing turning them into two-way roads, which they say increases driver awareness and naturally reduces traffic. Some area residents expressed concerns that two-way streets could attract more traffic. The city is considering temporary projects to evaluate if the change would improve safety. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's called show business for a reason, and oftentimes the business part is what drives creative or really talented people away, such is the case with actor Chauncey Leopardi, best known for his role as Squints in The Sandlot. The actor recently sat down with People.com and said that as an actor, it was the constant auditions and the grind that made him step back from the biz. These days, Leopardi is busy raising his 5 children and running a cannabis business, saying it was a pretty smooth transition as he always had a life outside Hollywood. He also added that he really enjoyed his life as an actor. His credits also include Freaks and Geeks and Father of the Bride. Here's another really cool thing that came out of the interview. Squints says he still keeps in touch with Smalls, Benny the Jet, and Ham. He says they have multiple group chats and not only text quite often, but actually see each other at sports signings and events. Great story. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
A few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny here by later this afternoon. A pretty nice day today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight clear, we'll drop to near 40 for a low. Tomorrow another beautiful day with sunshine and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 42.
Hey, everybody. Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Frequent guest and former Republican operative Carlton Huffman joins the show to talk about all the day's headlines. Join me.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I let Dr. Lyerly go without promoting her show, which she works on every week and is now heard Saturdays at noon all across the Civic Media Radio Network. So tune in for the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show tomorrow at noon. Her guest is candidate for governor Kel DeRoys. And I was making the note earlier about, shall we say, the youthfulness of the current field of candidates for governor. And I thought, well, if I gave one, I better give all the rest of them here. So what I've got here is Josh Call, who is not in the race now, is 44. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is 50. Fran Hong, 36. Kel DeRoys, 46. Missy Hughes, 57. Dave Crawley, 39. Mandela Barnes, a potential candidate, 38. Republican Tom Tiffany, 67 years old. So, again, a lot of opportunities for folks who either will get the governorship next year or there's a U.S. Senate race 2 years after that. So, again, Kel DeRoys will be on with Dr. Lyerly coming up at noon tomorrow. Let's bring in now Mike Clemens, and let's talk a little sports here. About, well, you got the Brewers and the Cubs, unfortunately, now the Cubs facing elimination. And so I guess we may as well start there as well as anything else. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Well, it was tough last night, man. The momentum shift after Quinn Priester's performance the other night is just unbelievable. I just flip a switch, and I don't know if it starts with the atmosphere, the Cubs fans there at the friendly confines. Freddy Peralta starting last night, and you know what? Did you see at one point the fans at Wrigley were chanting, Freddy, Freddy?
Yeah, and I did not think that would get into his head, but it seems to have done just that. And that's why I said earlier, anybody who's got a ticket for tomorrow night's game, man, you better not let the Cubs fans be louder than you, because they do not need to feel like this is a home game. This is our territory. We got to protect it in a game 5, 7:08 first pitch tomorrow, pregame at 6:30 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And yeah, how much are we missing Brandon Woodruff right now?
Well, that sounds like simple analysis. And after the game last night, I went up and down this playoff roster, and that's it. I mean, it's simple. That's it. So, you know, let me set the scene here. It's last Saturday afternoon. The crowd that the Brewers drew of Brewers fans was just phenomenal. And I've been doing this since 82. I got in as a producer to cover those World Series games. And I was talking to Mike Vassell, the PR director, after game 2, and I said, this crowd, man. He goes, I know. I said, did you guys like have auditions and rehearsals? This was crazy. Because, you know, they had a great rendition of the National Anthem, other kinds of pageantry, a little tribute to Euchre. The crowd got there early. They were all, like, mostly in their 30s and 40s, and frankly, a lot of them sober for that afternoon game. And then they bring out Charlie Behrens, and he's waving that rally towel. They gave out 42,000 rally towels. And I'm like, oh, my. And they were just so in sync with all the things that, you know, that the scoreboard crew plays to get the crowd going. And they just dominated with noise and everything. Brewers jump out to a 6-1 lead. They win game 1. They win game 2. One thing that was interesting is that both these teams, you know, they're scoring early in the games. I think that was combined by the end of the first inning was 32 points for both teams. 21 of those points in the first inning, which is a new Major League Baseball record in a playoff series. So then they get down to Chicago, and with Brandon Woodruff out, their starting pitchers for a playoff is Freddy Peralta, and then the number three guy was the Quinn Priester, 25-year-old who grew up around Chicago. He only lasts 39 pitches in Game 3 the other night. They hit him for three runs, and they end up losing that game 4-3. Then last night, Freddy Peralta gives up a three-run homer to Ian Happ. Two outs, 1-1 pitch, guys on first and second, and it looks like Freddy's going to get out of that jam. Nope. The Cubs are about to a 3-0 lead, and that just changes the atmosphere. Now, when you've got a lead like that, especially in a postseason game, your pitchers can relax and coast and aim for the strike zone, and the Brewers only got three hits last night. And now it's even Steven tomorrow night. I don't know what Murph's going to do. I think he made a very wise move that he said, okay, look, I really only have two starting pitchers. So what I'll do is let's secure game one, put Freddie out there. That worked.
Yep.
Let's go by pitcher by committee for game two here at home. So then we're at Wrigley. We'll put the kid in there. And if he can win game three, boom, we're done. Well, it didn't work, and now they're running out of pitchers, and I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow night.
And everybody's kind of wondering / worrying about that. For Priester, I don't know if the term is proper here. If I say, you know, the yips in that he just could not hit the strike zone with his signature pitch, and. You know, the closest example I have was growing up in Minnesota, where Chuck Knobloch was like one of the premier shortstops. And then he moved to the Yankees and he did okay for a season or two there. And then he got the worst case of the yips I think perhaps anybody's ever seen, where he could not throw a ball to first base to save his life and ultimately left the game. And I'm not trying to project onto Quinn Priester here. I'm just saying that there is, much like a batting slump, I mean, it just gets in your head if you can't find a way to deal with it. And I worry about the kid that way. The other kid I worry about, Jacob Mizorowski. We're going to need him to pitch multiple innings of relief tomorrow. And again, with that 103-mile-an-hour fastball, he's got to hit his marks.
Got to hit his marks. Got to, you know, put a little bit more motion on the ball. And he had some kind of a bit of an emotional breakdown when guys started hitting him, you know, Murphy, and we won't go into detail on that, but it's something where Murphy has to protect it. He's just a kid. He's, you know, 23, the Miz, lots of pressure on him. You know, maybe they should have held off on the T-shirts, whatever. But anyway, that's what's going to happen tomorrow night. You know, the good news is the game is at home. If the Brewers can, you know, turn it around and get that same momentum going they had last weekend, they would be at home on Monday night against the L.A. Dodgers, a team that they've swept. Yes. So we'll see.
Yeah. And the Dodgers get in on one of the craziest final plays ever. Philadelphia's pitcher, Orion Kerkering, I think is the name. And just having what should have been a relatively easy, you know, comebacker to the mound, throwing it to first or home. He chooses to throw it home, and it goes way wide. Dodger runner scores. Dodgers clinch the series. Again, that kind of heartache that will haunt, you know, Philly fans for the entire winter. But, you know, that's how baseball works, is sometimes a single errant throw can change everything.
There's a hit. It gets hit back to this pitcher, and he's got the ball in his hands. Now, the runner on third base is already halfway down the line, right? He's rolling. There's two outs, and the Phillies just need one more out to win this game. And or to keep the game going, because they were in extra innings. And in a panic, instead of picking up the ball, which he was kind of having a hard time getting a hold on, and throwing it to first, where, you know, he had plenty of time to throw it to first before the batter got there, he flips it to his catcher. It goes wide. The Dodgers score, and they win the game and end the series. So, and then you could see the Phillies manager talking to him right away, like, hey, you know, you didn't lose this thing, because he, you know, he could go down in baseball lore forever in Philadelphia as the guy who blew a series. And frankly, for the Brewers, I'd rather see them take on the Dodgers than the Phillies, because they didn't match up very well against Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to avoid that that Bill Buckner label that gets right. on somebody.
Right. That kind of a label. Them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Let's switch over to basketball because the Bucks, they're getting close to starting that regular season. They had the Pistons last night in a preseason game at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. And still the rumors about Giannis possibly leaving. Good Lord, Mike, the national press will not leave this alone.
You know, and that's what my feeling was in August or so, and until the details came out this week. And it's like, oh, okay. The fact of the matter is the season ends for the Bucks. Damian Lillard goes down with the Achilles. And so the Bucks make these bold moves where they release Dame Lillard. They make the trade for Miles Turner from the Pacers. They rebuild their roster. They move on. They moved on from Middleton and then Brook Lopez. And in June and July, they present this to Giannis, thought that they had a deal. And then the next thing you know, John Horst gets a call, and he's flying to Greece to meet with Giannis and his agent while Giannis is playing for the Greek national team in the European leagues. And Giannis is like, you know, what would it take for me to get into New York? Like, he thinks of New York as another destination. If he was interested, if he went anywhere, it would be that. But anyway, he constantly is challenging the team about what can they do with the roster, and they've done everything that they can, really. So it's come out down to that. They did have talks with the Knicks in August, but the Knicks gave up, you know, four or five of their first round picks to get this Mikal Bridges. You have to now watch between the period of February 1st and February 4th, where without going into details, there's a window there that maybe that the Mikal Bridges could be moved when his contract reaches a certain spot, if Giannis goes to that deal. So I think it'll pretty much be, all right, we'll see how the season is going, and then maybe make a final decision before the trade deadline, February 4th.
All right, well, we got him for now to start the season. That's the important part, is get the season off to a strong start. Badger football, the Badgers with their 2-3 record will be hosting Iowa at 6 p.m. on Saturday. So the pregame will be starting at 4 o'clock on some Civic Media stations there. And then let's get over to the NFL here, where the Packers are going to host the Cincinnati Bengals. And a little deja vu, a 3:25 kickoff Sunday, 1 o'clock the pregame starting on Civic Media stations. And the deja vu being Joe Flacco, guy that they just played a couple weeks back when he had Cleveland uniform on. This is something you never see in the NFL.
No. One of the reporters joked when LaFleur came in and says, so when's the last time you played Joe Flacco? I was like, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah, Joe Flacco was brought in as a quarterback for the Browns this year. And, you know, the Cleveland fans have been ripping on him because he's too conservative and not, driving the ball downfield. And he's 40 years old. And these quarterbacks, even Brett Favre has said that. He says, I was a different quarterback when I was 38 as opposed to 25. I was safer with the football, believe it or not. And, you just tend to be that way. Aaron Rodgers, the same thing. Anyway, they moved on in Cleveland with Dylan Gabriel. The Bengals are desperate because Jake Browning, their backup, has thrown 8 interceptions. They've lost their last 3 games. They're trying to, hold the phone for Joe Burrow when he comes back from toe surgery at some point. And so they get Flacco. And LaFleur and Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator of the Packers, think, hey, there's a good chance that this guy could actually, adapt to this, that sort of pocket offense that the Bengals run anyway. So he'll be out there at 3:25 on 4 days to prepare for a game. One thing we're watching, though, is the kicker situation. Brandon McManus, your 34-year-old ace kicker for the Packers at Wednesday's practice, he's kicking balls, and all of a sudden, twink, feels something in his right quad, in his kicking leg, in his thigh. Mm. And he said, this happened to me 3 years ago. I got through it. It happened on a Wednesday. I still kicked on Sunday. I kicked a 40-yarder or a 50-yarder. So he might be a question mark for Sunday's game at kicker.
All right. Well, and back to Favre. Today is his 56th birthday, and so if he's comments about his playing shape, I mean, we're facing Aaron Rodgers in a couple of weeks here. Maybe the game between that, the Arizona, maybe we end up facing Favre at 56. Maybe he feels like he's got something to prove there. Anyway, Packers-Bengals, again, coming up this Sunday, and Mike Clemens will be following it all, and we will talk to him all about it next Friday as well. Safe travels, Mike. Have a great weekend.
you know, we laugh about that, but stranger things have happened in the NFL. Have a good weekend, Pat.
Stranger things have happened. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it very, very much. And again, 3:25 kickoff, 1 o'clock is the pregame for the Packers and Bengals. For the Badgers against Iowa, coverage begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow for kickoff at 6, homecoming against Iowa. And Brewers and Cubs, pregame starts at 6:30 tomorrow. Some final news and notes back home in Lake Wasota after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, let's look ahead at what you'll find across the Civic Media Radio Network later on, coming up on the Matt Nair on Air program with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins Jane and Greg just after 10 o'clock this morning. And then get this, Todd Alba today at 2:35 is going to be talking to Mike Mankey, the PA announcer for Badger Athletics. Oh. I've been hearing some promos for that. The man behind the voice, as Todd likes to say. So that should be a lot of fun.
I'm really excited about that. I want to make sure I hear that today.
But you'll be napping. You're always napping at about that time.
I am. Oh, I'm actually really going to have to nap because I'm a going to be on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba tonight. So I actually might.
Wait a minute. Let me scroll down here.
I don't know if it's in there. I haven't looked.
Let me scroll. It's not on here. Are you sure? Are you somebody pulling your leg? All I see under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is Bar Band Friday. Includes the original song Baseball on the Radio in honor of the Brewers, written by Southern Wisconsin musicians. I'm not seeing any Parker Olson here.
I'm pretty sure me and
not pulling your leg.
Okay. Me and Greg Gunderson, right. I think, are going to be on tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
Talking about our new sports show.
Maggie Dawn has Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee. Let's see. Also, Jennifer Sullivan, Director of Health Coverage Access for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, talking about the rising cost of health insurance because of Republicans cutting subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. And also Terry Barr will join Maggie for What's Good and Local but Overlooked. But getting back to Todd here for a second, not only does he have Mike Mankey coming on, but it says here at 3:06, weirdly specific time, but after the 3 o'clock news, there's going to be a VIP ticket giveaway to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the incredible story of an avid group of Japanese Packers fans making their way to the Mecca of Lambeau Field, debuting at the Majestic Theater in Waukesha. And Todd's going to have VIP tickets to give away for this thing.
Wow.
How fun is this guy?
That's very fun. He's big time. How about that? VIP?
VIP tickets. What do we got?
We don't even have tickets.
I'm looking around. I don't even have. I mean, I can give away my Roy Kent coffee mug. That's about it.
You're not separating yourself from that.
No. I'm not. Totally not. No. Are you going to be watching your Whitewater football team in action this weekend? I don't even. I should have gone over the WIAC schedule with Mr. Clemens while he was here.
Yeah, that's all right. Whitewater is playing against Stevens Point this weekend. Stevens Point is how you would say. How you would say lowly. They are okay. Not good. So I might not watch. I might just listen and watch something else.
Okay. Let's see. We've also got UW-Eau Claire is traveling to UW-La Crosse.
Yeah.
And we've got Platteville heading to River Falls.
That'll be fun.
Again, Whitewater at Point and Oshkosh heading to Stout for. The standings here overall. Yeah. I mean, it's only week two, you know, I mean, so
conference play,
at the top, you've got Platteville, La Crosse, Oshkosh and Stout all with 1-0 records. And then now at the bottom with 0-1 records, Eau Claire, River Falls, Stevens Point. Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that Whitewater really down there at the bottom?
Whitewater lost in double overtime to La Crosse last week. So,
is that a symbolic victory? Can we make it like 0-1-1?
Oh no. It was not that. It felt like we lost four games because we're up 17-0 at halftime and we didn't score until overtime.
I see.
No symbolic victories here.
Okay, I gotcha. On the text line from Tiffany in River Falls, talking about Shannon Zimmerman saying, I think our assembly district gets forgotten because we're so close to the Twin Cities and we're part of the Twin Cities media market. We have to seek out Wisconsin news and it's so frustrating, but it's why I love civic media and I tell everyone to listen. And Tiffany, we appreciate that very much because again, both from Up North News, which is part of Courier Newsroom, and civic media, a real core focus has been getting Wisconsin news out to places that have a tough time getting Wisconsin news, places that are in the Twin Cities TV market or the Duluth TV market, or they're down there, you know, closer to Chicago. And it's just tougher to get Wisconsin news into some of these places. It's kind of like, Parker, the way every year we have members of Congress introduce bills so that you can actually see the Packers everywhere in Wisconsin, including if you're in the Twin Cities TV market, and yet nothing ever comes of it year after year after year.
Yeah,
it's tough to feel like you're a Wisconsinite in some of these border communities.
It is. It sucks. I think that's part of too why you see so many Cubs fans at Brewer games is because they're all right there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So again, you've got organizations like these that are trying to put more Wisconsin news, Wisconsin sports into these places and kind of bring more of Wisconsin together and feel a bit more united. It's way too easy to feel like you're more part of a TV market than it is than what's inside your state borders. But who your legislator is in Hudson, you know, in St. Croix County and in Pierce County, you know, these things should matter a lot to the voters there, but you'd never know listening to Twin Cities media. So I'm glad we're filling a role there, especially around the 3rd Congressional District. You know, we've got so many stations in and near the 3rd District so that people are hearing much more about the importance of the congressional representative for that area, whether it's Derek Van Orden this year or whether it's, you know, one of the other candidates that wants to unseat him. These are uniquely Wisconsin issues that people deserve to hear about. It's part of what we talked about with Congressman Mark Bocan yesterday and why he's doing town halls throughout the 3rd Congressional District, because the current representative there isn't holding any. And so once again, you got people with a focus on bringing news to all of Wisconsin so that you have, you know, the right representation in both Madison and in Washington, D.C. when these elections are all over. Well, Parker, hope you have a good weekend. Good luck to Whitewater anyway. And of course, to the Brewers, the Badgers, the Packers as well. We will be summing all of it up, of course, Monday morning, 6 a.m. back here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The 72-hour window for Hamas to return all hostages to Israel is open. That's according to the U.S. envoy, Steve Witkoff, as the Israeli military says it's withdrawn to the position agreed upon in the first phase of the peace deal brokered by the White House. ABC's Mary Bruce has more.
The big question, then what? The president's 20-point plan had called for Hamas to disarm and for Gaza to be governed by an apolitical Palestinian committee overseen by an international board of peace with Trump as its chairman.
But no Nobel Peace Prize for President Trump. The committee awarded this year's honor to the opposition leader in Venezuela, Maria Machado. The White House communications director in a statement says the Nobel Committee placed politics over peace. No end in sight to the government shutdown after the Senate departed without a funding measure. This means military members can miss paychecks next week, and federal troops expected to begin patrolling Memphis today. This is ABC News.